reach the
It's possible to believe that. I'm not opposed to that idea. I just say there is no evidence for it. And where there's no evidence, I say keep an open mind. Don't commit yourself in the absence of compelling evidence.
Semi-live via podcast, direct from 8R Studios, located in the great state of higher consciousness, U.S. 8. That's Agnostic Radio.
And we're back with another edition of Agnostic Radio. We're so glad that you would join us once more. I'm JG, your co-host, and I'm here with my co-host,
JR.
And today, we're here with David Paul Doyle. And David Paul, among other things, is an author. And one of the books that he wrote that really caught my attention was the book entitled When God Spoke to Me. And I found this topic to be very interesting because as a professed agnostic, I'm often fascinated and curious about believers and people who believe in God and that moment in time, if it is in fact a moment, when God spoke to them. So I'm always interested in my personal journey. I'm always interested in hearing other people and accounts of other people in their journeys as they search for and reach for God. So if I would, David Paul, could we ask you to sort of give a little bit of your history and background? How did you come to do what you do? And then also what is your spiritual background and belief system?
Okay, well, thanks, guys, for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure to connect with you. And, you know, I could ramble on pretty long about my background, but to keep it nice and short, I was just a normal person, you know, just like everyone else, nothing special. I wasn't pursuing spirituality, had never done anything spiritual. I wasn't interested in it. I was actually a student at the Air Force Academy. I was just about going into my third year. Just a few weeks away from going into my third year, and I had this very unexpected, out of the blue spiritual experience. And it was so powerful, so real, so life changing. It happened literally in an instant. I was just driving down the road with my friends in a car, and this huge, huge wave of love came over me, like this, you know, bowled me over. It felt like a tidal wave just enveloped me. And it literally felt like I had exploded. And this question came into my mind that said, what would I have done if I was an old man on my deathbed and had absolutely no regrets? And I had never thought about that before. You know, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. I was training to be a fighter pilot. And I was young, you know, I was 20 years old at the time. And I asked myself the question because, you know, the thought was there. And I realized in that instant that it had absolutely nothing to do with being in the military, nothing to do with being a pilot. And then I asked the question, well, then what would I have done with my life to have had absolutely no regrets? And I saw this vision and this thought came into my mind that I would write books that would impact people's lives all over the world. And I just knew in that moment that it was true. I could feel it. It just, you know, it's one of those experiences that was so real and tangible that I just knew in that moment that was true for me, that's, you know. And so I literally, after 2 years of loving every moment of the Air Force Academy, I decided to leave in that moment because it was undeniable what had just happened to me. And I had no idea what I'd write about. I didn't know what the books would be about, but it led me on a journey. And I started searching and searching, and one thing led to another, and I had a lot of powerful spiritual experiences after that. And eventually I met my wife, and we had the exact same goals and interests, and so I ended up becoming a spiritual person.
Cool. So are your writings connected to any one particular religion, or you deal with spirituality more in the general sense?
Yeah, very general sense. I'm not spiritual. I've never read the Bible. I don't even know much about what it says, to be honest with you. I had an interest in Buddhism, and at one point in my searching, I read, you know, a number of different religious, you know, texts. You know, I was really into, I would say a short period of time, a couple of years, I read a lot of Buddhist books and Hindu books. And obviously I know the general, you know, it's what the Bible generally says. I mean, I was actually raised Christian, loosely Christian, I should say. We just attended, you know, church on holidays and special occasions. And, you know, I went to CCD or, you know, kind of, Catholic Christian classes, but my family wasn't about rules and guilt and fear or anything like that. It was just more ritualistic, you know, kind of middle class ritualistic going to church. But it was only a couple times a year. And, you know, it just all became about my personal experiences. These experiences I was having were so life changing, so profound, so real, so undeniable that they changed the way I viewed things. And my path became about, you know, a personal relationship with God. And I don't see God as some big figure in the sky. To me, it's, you know, it's the essence of all creation, the essence of within all of us. You know, if we were able to get in touch with the deepest, deepest, deepest consciousness within ourselves, that's what I would call God. And it's really about having that direct experience of that unified consciousness that links everything together, the whole universe and way beyond that, together. That's what I consider God.
Well said.
And it's a very direct experience that we can all have since we're all part of it.
Right, right. So if you could describe for our listeners, what is your book, When God Spoke to Me, about?
You know, it's just a collection of stories from people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, different religions, different belief systems. But they all have one thing in common, is they experienced, quote, hearing God's voice and had it change their life. And it's not just hearing a big loud voice, although that's some of them, but it's hearing that voice in countless different ways. I think there's about 33 different ways that people hear divine communication in this book that was life altering. And that was kind of my goal, because I think so many people, they just perceive God as this figure, this, you know, person in a human form, and it's always this big loud voice, because that's what we see in the movies and we read about in the Bible and whatnot. But my experience over the years and in speaking with so many people is that we all tap into that source, that consciousness of love that I spoke about, that's within all of us. We all tap into it in as many ways as we can imagine, and that we can receive guidance, communication, understanding, insight, healing from that source in every way imaginable. And so I wanted to kind of capture that diversity, to show people, to kind of break up the beliefs about that static hearing a big loud voice belief system. Mm-hmm. And show people that it's ever present. It can look and feel a lot of different ways. And it doesn't matter what you think, what you believe, what your background is. It's just simply part of us, and we can all have that if we want it. You know.
So was there any one particular story in the book that really stood out to you, or that really touched you in a special way?
You know, I didn't want a single story in the book that didn't impact me in an important way, that didn't stir my heart and really impact me. So I can say every story does that, but of course I do have my personal favorites.
Mm.
And, and I would say my favorite story number one, you know, just because it was one that touched my heart so deeply. So it's about a mom and her daughter.
Mm. So do you feel like God is or should be a necessary component in a person's life?
I don't. I don't think we all come here to have a spiritual life. I think we're all having one, whether we're aware of it or not, but it doesn't always need to be, quote, spiritual or God-focused. I mean, we we could come here to, you know, I look at Bill Gates. I mean, I'm guessing Bill Gates is probably a spiritual man, but, you know, he's impacted the world in a profound way, and there's a million inventors who may impact the world in a huge way that brings us closer, that, you know, really improves our experience of life. And, you know, that may be why they're here, to bring that gift. And they don't need to necessarily focus on spirituality to accomplish that purpose. So we all have different purposes. Sometimes our purpose may be to experience the depths of, you know, hell, whether we're a drug addict or, you know, we lose everything in some tragedy, you know, to dig deeper and find a source that's greater than ourselves. And it doesn't have to be called God either. You know, some people find, maybe they just come here to learn to be empowered, or they come here to learn other types of lessons. And I just don't think they have to be wrapped in a, quote, spiritual or religious wrapper, because it's all just vocabulary. Someone may be highly spiritual, and yet they don't use those words. They call it, you know, being self-empowered or, you know, self-aware, and it's not related to any other belief system. So I'm just not tied up with vocabulary and or what people's frameworks.
So is when you talk about God, is that just sort of the common nomenclature that you like to use, so people can relate to what you're saying?
Well, ironically, it's probably a worse word to use than other words, because it's so charged in our culture. There's so much baggage around that. There's so many belief systems, and, you know, you can't say that word without people freezing up on you and, you know, wanting to not talk, you know, half the time if you're in public or whatever. So it's actually probably a worse word to use, but, you know, I really do. There's abstract words like the Tao that are not personal in nature, that I think God is the Tao, is the essence. But I also believe there's a very personal thing there, that, you know, God can be both abstract and personal. And I like that personal nature. To me, it's a very personal experience. I was raised with that vocabulary, that kind of Christian vocabulary, so it's a comfortable term for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I do like, you know, I think the Tao is a little abstract, even though I experience God very abstractly in terms of, you know, not a personal thing. But I like having both, and I think that the infinite, you know, which I consider God to be, can be anything. Hence the world. And so I personally like the word. Plus, I think that people who are into God probably struggle the most sometimes with this stuff, because they've been kind of brainwashed into thinking so many different things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think those are the people who need to tap into this stuff the most. Plus, a lot of the people are searching. Plus, on top of all that, you can't reach everybody. You know, I could pick any vocabulary, and it would only impact a fragment of the population, because we're all attracted to different vocabulary, different frameworks. And there's not one framework that's all encompassing that you're going to attract, you know, from a market perspective.
Right.
So, you know, I thought of writing the same book using different words. You know, my first book, you know, I thought of having the same exact book, but just switching up all the vocabulary to be higher self, you know, true self, soul, and it would all still pretty much read the same.
Mm-hmm.
And attract different audiences. But I let go of all those kind of goals. Like I said, I don't really have an agenda for people, so I'm happy with the niche I'm in, and that vocabulary works for me personally.
As I was looking over your website before the show, I noticed a lot of your books and CDs and stuff have to do with meditations and that sort of thing. How exactly do you use meditation to sort of like focus in on, you know, like, for example, you know, me personally, when, you know, I sit down and I try to, you know, think quietly about, you know, my life and things that are going on, you know, I just get overwhelmed with all, you know, like the daily, chatter, for lack of a better word. You know, how do you suggest like going through and, you know, honing in on what exactly would be God's voice, versus just, you know, normal everyday noise?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's exactly what we teach. And we were given this five-step process from we call Holy Spirit or God or whatever you want word you want to throw on there. But in it, this five-step process is so simple and so effective, and we've taught it to thousands of people, regardless of their spirituality or background. It just works. And, you know, to put it in a nutshell, it's we're all relating to our thoughts we talk about two voices in our work, the voice of the ego, which is really just the voice of judgment. But we're so used to thinking with that way of with the voice of the ego. And it's not an actual thing or entity. It's just a way of thinking that's always based upon judgment. For example, most of us are always trying to do something with our thoughts. You know, we either like it, we don't. We want to get rid of it or hold on to it. It's a good thought, it's a bad thought. It's a kind of a good thought. Well, maybe we could upgrade it. And, you know, we believe it or we don't. And we're always trying to manipulate our mind constantly from a state of judgment. And, you know, our experience is this voice within us, this part, this consciousness within us that is the presence of love doesn't do any of that. There's no discernment. There's just extending love. It only perceives everything in a loving way, whether it's extending kindness, compassion, friendship, comfort, understanding, peace, joy. It's always in a loving relationship with everything. So this five-step process that we were given, the very first step addresses your question, and we have this technique called extending love to your thoughts. And so every single thought that you become aware of, whether it's a thought, a feeling, a sensation, a belief, an emotion, doesn't matter what it is, whatever you become aware of, we extend love. And you could extend compassion, kindness, a blessing, gratitude, but you're relating to it with love. There's no agenda, no trying to do anything to your mind. Very few of us relate to our thoughts in that way. We're always trying to manipulate them through very subtle judgments of what we think is good and bad and right and wrong. And when we only extend love, the thoughts just fall away so quickly, so easily, doesn't matter what they are. And it's a very powerful way of accessing that quiet place within where that consciousness of love exists. And so, you know, if anybody out there who's listening to this struggles with meditation, struggles with quieting their mind, I really recommend taking a look at either our 30-day course or our Extending Love Meditation CDs. And this isn't a sales pitch. I just have helped, you know, that this technique has helped literally tens of thousands of people. And I don't care if you've been meditating for 20 years. We get people who have meditated for so long. They're good at quieting their mind, but this is still different. It brings an element of love to that still mind. And it's very powerful, and you can go very deep with it.
So in that vein with extending love or finding God, however you want to frame it, do you feel like, and we'll just use the term God, do you feel like God, that you have to actively seek God, or God is someone who can just come to you, or how does that, in your experience and in talking to other people, how does that relationship usually manifest itself?
Yeah, great question. You know, we have to seek it out, because God doesn't have an agenda for us. There's no judgment. God sees the truth of who we are, sees that we are one with God, one with all that is, that God doesn't look upon all these individual little people. God sees the essence of love in everyone and everything. And that's our true identity. You know, and that's my belief, that we are this essence of love that, you know, if people talk about, you know, life after death kind of stuff, it's like we are consciousness temporarily having a human experience in these human bodies. But these human bodies are very short-lived. You know, everything in form is very short-lived. It's always changing, but the consciousness exists forever. That's what's eternal. And so God sees the consciousness, the presence of love that we are, and doesn't confuse that identity with everything that happens in the world. So God doesn't have an agenda for what we do, what we say, what we're interested in. So if we want to have a relationship with God or a relationship with that loving consciousness within ourselves, we have to seek it out. And as soon as we seek it out, it's there. You know, it's available to us because that's what we want, that's what we asked for, and that's what we're giving ourselves. You know, I think that quote in the Bible, which I don't know it verbatim, but, you know, ask and you shall receive, you know, and the door will be open, that whole quote. You know, it's very, very true. You know, we have to ask. We have to want to have healing or peace or communication or understanding in order for us to get it. And so, you know, God's not going to, is looking around the world going, oh, you need to be fixed up. I need to go solve this problem. Oh, you need to go do this. Because God gives us free will to do whatever we want, knowing that we're perfectly safe in truth, that no matter what happens in the world, we remain as God created us to be. We remain this extension of love that God is, and that that's our true self. So there's nothing to protect in that sense.
Interesting. So for our listeners, if they're interested in reading your book or accessing some more of your materials or contacting you, what's the best way that they can do that?
I would say just go to our website. Our website's called thevoiceforlove.com, all spelled out in words, thevoiceforlove.com. And, you know, you can get the book on, you know, Barnes & Noble or Amazon or even Barnes & Noble bookstores. There's ebook of versions available. But I would say just going to our site will kind of give you a, you know, a portal to accessing all of our resources and the book in different formats.
Okay. So is there, what's the one message that you would like to get out to our listeners, if you could say one thing to the person listening right now?
Yeah, well, since this is called Agnostic Radio, you know, I would say there is no proof in the world of God. You know, there's no proof, the world cannot prove that God exists because it's an inner experience. And if you actually want to know, if you actually have a sincere desire to know if God is real or exists, I would say you're going to have to look for a personal experience within yourself, because that's the only thing that can prove it to you. You know, and the thing is when people experience it, it's very real. It's not like, I don't know, the realness of it is so tangible that it's almost difficult to deny. It's almost impossible to deny. It's kind of like, you know, do you love your spouse? Do you love your children? Do you love, you know, you can't prove to someone that you love your wife, or you can't prove to someone that you love your kids, but you know if it's true or not. And it's undeniable that you just have that experience of love. And to me, experiencing God is the same way. It's such a bigger experience than the human experience. It's so grand that there's no other explanation, and you don't even try to come up with an explanation. It's just what it is. So I think that's the only way to prove to yourself if there is a God is to actually have a direct experience. No intellectual nature, no worldly science or whatever is going to prove it to you. When it becomes an experience, it will become real. And you won't have that until you actually seek it out and want that.
So. Good advice.
I like it.
Yeah. So thanks, David Paul, for coming on and speaking with us for a few minutes. We really appreciate it.
You bet. I appreciate you having me, and I hope it was helpful.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we will put a link on the show notes to David Paul's website for those listeners out there who would like to find out more about his work. And we would like for you to continue to collaborate with us on our journey. You can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, our voicemail, all the usual channels. And we'd like to help keep this community going. So please participate. So I think that's going to about do it for this week's show. Do you have anything else, Jared?
Just thanks for listening. And thanks to David Paul for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Once again, thank you. So with that, we will see you next week.
Music for today's show was provided by Giuliano Lombardo and musicalley.com. If you like what you hear, help us promote the show. Vote for us on podcastalley.com. Follow us on Twitter at Agnostic Radio. Send us a voicemail by calling 206-426-2845 or email us at agnosticradio@gmail.com.